Hello and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John. Scott is off this week. He'll be back next week. And joining me once again is Apolline Romance.
Hi.
And you chose this week's album because you were the guest on Zombie Takeout, so I asked you if you was an album you wanted to review, and you chose from 2007, Fight With Tools by Flobots.
I did. And you want to know why, I guess. It's because, as I said, I'm a poet and I'm really sensitive to rhythm and music and lyrics. And I feel like Flobots' album, especially Fight With Tools, is really interested in this combination between rhythm, music and lyrics, which is why it is so catchy, which is why it can be reviewed as a poetry, as a collection of not poems, but texts, you know, and link them with the music.
And just a little intro before we get to the tracks. Flobots are a hip-hop and rock band from Denver, Colorado, which at the time of this album consisted of Br'er Rabbit and Johnny Five on vocals, Andy Guerrero on guitar and vocals, Mackenzie Roberts on viola and vocals, Kenny O on drums, and Jesse Walker on bass. They were formed in 2005 by Jamie Lohrer, a.k.a. Johnny Five, and their origins date back to 5 years earlier to a similar project that he had worked on. Fight With Tools is their debut album, and it was produced by the band, which is very unusual for a debut album, especially one on a subsidiary of a major label. It was released on Universal Republic, which at the time was a sub of Universal. It also features Joe Ferrone on trumpet, Mariel Roberts on cello, Minnie Baldwin on vocals, which I thought was a sample until she referenced one of the other songs. And the samples on track 9 are of Robbie Zupa. And on track 10, the samples were provided by Dr. Vincent Harding and the Veterans of Hope Project. Now on to the individual tracks. I've always forget to mention this. I don't edit music into the show itself because I don't want to get a copyright strike. But down in the description, you'll find links to the album on Spotify and YouTube. So you can, you know, pause us when we're about to talk about a track, go listen to it and, you know, follow along. On to track 1, There's a War Going On for Your Mind. This one really reminded me, talking about poetry, of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised by Gil Scott-Heron.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with it?
I don't think so, actually.
It's a poem written in the late 60s about, you know, all of the turmoil going on at that time. And it's poems with jazz music behind it.
Mm-hmm.
This is effectively we're going on your mind is a poem with this rock music behind it and kind of this military drum beat that has a really nice transition into a fairly typical hip hop beat, which is a really smooth transition as it goes from militaristic and heavy to kind of more melodic and dark and kind of more standard hip hop tune. And it's very, very short. It's under 2 minutes. And it's just this great sort of opening, kind of a mission statement for the album. And has a great sort of very sudden ending.
It sets the tune for the many political themes that are going to be covered in this album.
I haven't heard a band get this political in a long time.
I can think of, wait, is it? Oh, wait. It's, oh my God, what's the name of that band?
The only other one I can think of, and they're far more political than Flobots got here, is Rage Against the Machine, but they were a 90s band, so.
Yeah, I got it. I was thinking of Fort Minor.
Okay.
With the song that they have, which is called Kenji, where they tell the story of a Japanese man who was, taken away from his home and sent in, an American camp during
Vietnam War. Internment camp,
Yeah. And they're very political. They don't, you know, they really get into it. They really say what they want to say. There's no censorship. They really wanted to tell America effectively that this war is just really bad. That they, you know, and I wondered if this was created during the Vietnam War, would it have been censored by Kennedy and Co. And do you think that such a band would have,
That's well Vietnam during that time period. I think you're on turn 12.
Nope, they're not.
I'm hearing. Okay, that's it. I think that maybe there was just a short. I was hearing myself for a bit there. There was a lot of very political music coming out in the late '60s. So I don't. Well, Kennedy was early '60s, so maybe it would have been the early '60s. Yeah. By the late 60s, everything had gotten politicized. Yeah. But, you know, lately I haven't heard, in the last 10 years, it really hasn't gotten as political as it did in the 60s, late 60s or in the 90s.
Hmm. So it's, you know, even Madonna, you know, my favorite artist, mm-hmm. definitely, she has this song which is called American Life, where she openly sort of insults George W. Bush, you know, for the war in Iraq, and even that is not as bold as what Flabbergs does in this album.
Mm-hmm. On to track two, Mayday. I really like the syncopation between the band and the vocals. There's this kind of off-kilter and a little bit of polyrhythm going on. And it just sets up the sort of, it just gives it a nice sort of off-center feel. And the cello brings in sort of this fast mosh riff, which I never would have expected. It's this really interesting, there's some really interesting use of some unusual instruments for a rock context. And this is really a hybrid of rock and rap. It really is a throwback to bands like Rage and, you know, the Judgment Night soundtrack, for those of us old enough to remember it. And I also love it when they speed up and before that riff comes in. There's just some great timing changes. And a string solo, which I was never expecting.
Actually, the title of that song, the very title, Mayday, made me realize that it was taken from a French expression. Which then means help me. The spelling has nothing to do with the month May or something. It's
Americanization or anglicization of a French word.
So then in the song they repeat Mayday, Mayday, Mayday as a mantra, which makes sense because effectively they want the thing is that, you know, they want to be saved from I don't remember the theme of that song, but I think they mentioned rescue workers. Wait, let me pull up the lyrics of that one because I can't remember everything.
Okay, because I don't really have a lot of notes on lyrics except for one or two songs. So
it's important because each song has very precise, you know, lyrics, mm-hmm. very precise themes. So if you really want to get into it, In between the lines, outside of the law, underneath the veil, we dig our foundations. We navigate the globe, trying to find a pattern to break the mold. Again, it's really a statement for the album, but in a different way. Mm-hmm.
There's a war going on for your mind kind of sets up the problem, and mm-hmm. this sort of sets up how we're going to go about fixing it, almost.
Yep. I was looking at the next track.
Onto track three. Nicely set up. Same thing. This starts off with pizzicato violin that I could have swore was a trumpet the first time I heard it. Or not a trumpet, I'm sorry, a banjo. My next note is about the trumpet. Sounded like a banjo. Which was a really messed with my head. And then I realized it was the viola. And there's some great jazz trumpet over this really interesting mix of rapping and singing.
See, I love why we view this with you because you're a musician and mm-hmm. you have this sensitivity that I do not have.
I definitely run into this too because he's not a musician. And you know, I always approach it from a musician standpoint. And I often don't have a lot of notes on lyrics. Although this is the one made me realize just how political the album is. This is the one where it really struck me.
Is it that one when they say shut down Guantanamo Bay and they mention...
In that section, they get very specifically political. There's nothing vague about a war going on or, you know, there's nothing couched. It's just almost listing all of the issues.
They mentioned, oh yes, it is, who is it? There was, oh yeah, they mentioned Hugo Chavez, but do not let them assassinate Hugo Chavez. And
they list all of these leaders who've been assassinated, and they say don't assassinate Hugo Chavez. And I think there are a couple others
He was assassinated during our time. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I heard on the news that he had been killed, not going to get into details, whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought they were visionary on this. Because even the line shut down Guantanamo Bay was one of the projects of Barack Obama when he was elected. He said that he would shut down Guantanamo Bay. But again, saying all those things that I want to do feels really idyllic, because you can't effectively do that. Right. They have revendications, but they're in reality, you cannot really implement any of that. I think it's in this song that they say U.S. is not us, and I thought that this was one of the greatest lines in this album.
Yeah,
because
us is not we.
Yeah, you are. Just after the interlude, same thing. U.S. is not us, and us is not we. But this connection between the U.S., which is, you know, United States, with us, I thought that if you take it today with whatever's going on with Trump and that, that many people would still say, what's going on right now in America doesn't correspond to what we thought.
The line definitely holds up. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, which is why it's a great band and it's a great song. Because if you can connect elements that happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s to now, it means that the message did not go old and still has some resonance right now and today, which is why those lines are great.
On to track 4, Stand Up. This has a great opening with the strings, and it's just a really nice, sparse arrangement. It's just strings, vocals, and a bit of drums, and then the bass comes in, and still very sparse. And it's just a really nice way that they play with the sound. It's not this big, aggressive, you know, full band thing hitting you, like it is on a lot of the other tracks.
And it's catchy as well, because when they say, you know, put your hands up and I'll copy you, they repeat that leitmotif. And it's, you want to stand up with them, you want to join their cause. Even though they mention a woman who's not been fed or a child who has no shoes effectively. So they want to make you realize, if you hadn't, which is how could you not, that the world is going berserk and we have to do something. But it's not in a, it's, they're not, you know, ramming down a fart down your throat. They're doing it in a sort of catchy way, which the song conveys just as well. I'm looking at the lyrics because they're really specific. Even that line, we've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. I'm reading this and I think 9/11, you know? Yeah.
Well, obviously that had to be an influence on it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's what I like with poetry and rhymes and lyrics, is that with a few words, you can actually bring an image into your reader's mind, which is so vivid that you cannot be mistaken for something else. It is what they want you to think of.
Yeah.
So the message is powerful. And it's, this song reminds me of another song by Flabots, which is, I have to remember that it's in another album.
Another album, okay.
I have the entire discography of that band. So this is critical for me, because I'm saying, oh yeah, there's this song. Wait, which one? The cover is yellow, but it's going to help us. Wait. Because, and I don't want to pull the entire iTunes song on me so that you can I have to find it. Because in this song is saying that basically, is it Frobots? No, wait, that's not Frobots. Again, this band is related to many bands. Who's singing September Children again? Oh my god. Wait, is it? I think that's Rage. No, that's not Rage Against.
That doesn't sound like a Rage song.
No. But the band is called Rise Against, and it's Rise Against.
I've heard of them.
And it's they carry this political message, which is similar to Flabots. And it's in a very humane way. That's what this album does. They really take situations with humans in it, and they make you realize that it's just unacceptable.
Yeah. You want to jiggle your iPhone wire again? I'm hearing myself.
Oh, gosh.
There, I think it's fixed. it happens periodically.
I'm so sorry.
Just technical errors happen. Okay. On, well, before we get to track five, track four, Stand Up, ends with this great static and the sound of a radio changing stations, kind of randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And that links to the next song, the title track, Fight With Souls. And I was surprised to hear that kind of a link on this album. It's just not something I would have expected. This one, again, more great syncopation and a really nice kind of swirling bass line. Really surprised by the distorted guitar coming in on the chorus, because it's not that kind of a song. It's not a real heavy rock song.
And then they
do this a couple times. And this is actually the middle of the album, makes sense. They reference There's a War Going On for Your Mind at the top of verse two. They quote it a little bit.
Yep, true. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
They do. There's one of the later tracks references it as well. I think it kind of speaks to it being the mission statement of the album, that they're bringing it back here and there. And there's a viola solo, and a shout out to Mackenzie Roberts. She's a great player. She really brings something special to the band that would have, I think without her, they would have just been another rap rock band, which was kind of, a thing in the late, actually more of in the late 90s. It was a thing. And you had, Rage and everybody who was influenced by Rage and the Judgment Night soundtrack. But the viola and the strings and the trumpet really bring something different to this album.
I mean, if you say so. It is interesting. We were supposed to listen to that album. We are listening to it all the time, mm-hmm. and I focus on lyrics and meanings and signals. And you,
I just dive into the music.
And I feel ashamed because I have some.
No, this is good.
And I'm incapable of saying anything relevant to that.
that's all right, because you're looking at the lyrics and kind of focusing on that. We've got both ends covered.
Thank you. Oh wow!
Anything particular about the lyrics jump out at you?
Just the way they use words. Like I read where the rich get ricochet. You know, it's another French word. So if you do not judge my freaking pronunciation, because it's not okay. But even using that term is really interesting, because a ricochet, it doesn't do anything, it's harmless. Uh-huh. And in here, it's taken as what we call the butterfly effect, interesting to put that word in there. Again, the images of many humans put through misery due to war and conflict, very vivid, very nicely detailed, as if it was a novel, as it is. So this I decided to not just mention something for the sake of being called, labeled as, a political band, but desiring to really picture what's going on, right. And not just skim through it, just really saying, okay, this is a problem, and this problem will be spelled out like this and this and this. Mm-hmm. So you really identify with the characters, as if it was, as I said, a novel.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On to track six, Handlebars. This was the big single. This is, if you know anything about the band, you've heard this song. And this is the one time I'm really going to get into the lyrics. Because
Okay, cool. Well,
after we recorded last week, Scott said he was a little disappointed that he wouldn't make this review because he wanted to talk about this song. And he said that he it didn't make sense to him that the kid at the beginning saying, I can ride my bike with no handlebars, would grow up to be this dictator talking about destroying the world. And then I looked into the song a little bit. And Jamie Lurie stated that the song is about the idea that we have so much incredible potential as human beings to be destructive or to be creative. It is a contrast between these little moments of creativity, these bursts of innovation, and the way these ideas are put to use to oppress and destroy people that the singer feels is beautiful and tragic at the same time. And based on that, I looked over the lyrics, and it's not one continuous story. It's not, the story of this kid growing up to be this dictator. It's all of these different comments about, I can do this, I could do this. It's not the individual saying I can do this, because he's talking about, being a famous rapper and then creating an antibiotic and, taking over the world and creating, all of these technical advancements. It's not one person. He's saying, as a human being, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Humans are capable of all these things. So the kid at the beginning is not necessarily the dictator at the end.
Maybe so the environment made him do that. Because if you take, for instance, Hitler, I'm going to stay off
from
the American environment so that I don't get criticized for criticizing America that I love. If you take Hitler, there was nothing in his education that led him to be such a dictator as he was. He just read some ideas out there, you know, and that got into his mind, and then he just did something horrible. But maybe, I don't know if they're saying that society sort of shapes you into doing something, or that whatever society does, you will anyway be born with sort of a fate that you cannot escape, you know?
I see it as, you know, I can do all of these things. I can, you know, talk, I can see someone on a telephone. I can, you know, I can make an antibiotic. I can lead the world with a microphone. I can split the atom. It's just kind of a statement of what humanity is capable of. Doing, you know, great works of science and creativity that help people, and also destroying the world and, you know, leading people into a frenzy. It's just kind of a study of, you know, humanity's potential, as I see it. And of course, I have to talk about the music. It starts with this great pizzicato violin opening that just kind of, it's panned a little right, which was a little annoying. I get really picky about how things are panned. You just kind of hear it in the right ear at the very beginning. Gets a little annoying, but then the band comes in and it fleshes out the spectrum. But it carries out throughout the song. At one point, I realized it was bowed instead of picked. There's a great trumpet solo. How often do you hear a trumpet solo in a pop song?
Unless you listen to Herbie and Cock, you cannot really a jazz influence is on you.
At the beginning, he uses the word crookedy.
Yeah.
Referring to the path being crookedy. Nicely childish, considering he starts off talking about, you know, this basic knowledge. You know, me and my friends made a comic book. You know, I know all the words to De Coloris. It's and I have a history with De Coloris, so it was a little uncomfortable, you know, a little hearing that. My father used to play it on accordion. It was got a bit old. But, you know, it was nicely, crookedy was nicely childish given its placement in the song. And then it little by little builds up. And as does the music. It's just this repetition that just gets louder and louder and builds up to, I can end the world in a holocaust.
And that word is shocking. Because it's not, we're not dealing with a childish vocabulary anymore. We're really getting into, as you said, this biased vision of the world as, you know, the atomic bomb can do something very horrible, but when it was created by science, it was supposed to help.
Well, and that's the line about, I think that's that line about splitting the atom is a really nice...
it says mix. Hiroshima, it says everything.
But it's also power. It's also, you know, it's been a lot of a source of great scientific advancement. You know, it's the splitting of the atom is that merging of the two, because it can be used for benefit or ill. You know, it can go either way. And I think that's kind of where the song begins to turn a little bit and get into the more destructive parts, you know, on that line. Because then it talks about, you know, that same bit talks about leading the planet, or leading the nation with a microphone, which could be a musician or could be a politician.
And this is interesting because to me that, like, during the second hook when they say, as you said, you know, leading the nation with a microphone, this is also that, what this is also something that Ginsberg used to say. I am, you know, he said that the microphone was his sort of tools, you know, his power. Remember that this album is called Fight With Tools and the microphone is one of them. So yes, the song is political. It tells about the horrors and many beneficial things that happened throughout history, but it also tells us something about the band itself. I think you may continue on that, but it's also a statement of what they do, you know. Blending is interesting.
You fight with the tools that you have. In their case, it's instruments and a microphone and words.
A tool in the history of humanity was when crafting and making was becoming something that created civilization. And then here he's saying, okay, but some of those tools are just terrible to us, and yet we created them. in order to evolve, and we are, you know, devolving, you know, which is what the song is also about. Can you say anything else about the lyrics? Looking at that,
that's it for me. Anything else jump out at you?
We said that there was an evolution between the terms that the child uses, mm-hmm. and then at the end, you have.
It comes back to I can ride my bike with no handlebars. Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, you have and can make I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And this one line is when you still hear the child speaking. Because would you send someone to prison solely based on the fact that you just dislike this person?
That I think I hadn't thought about that line, but that might be another merging of the two, like the Adam line was splitting the atom. You know, it's. Mm-hmm. Said in a very childish way, but it also is accurate to how a lot of the world is run.
Hmm. Can we move away from the lyrics and the music and talk about the anime feeling of the movie clip?
I didn't see the video. Okay, but continue.
You didn't?
I've probably seen it at some point.
Everyone knows that song. Everyone should have seen that
I've probably seen the video at some point. I just didn't watch it in preparation for this because we've never talked about videos before, but by all means, please do.
It feels like the song is told through as a story, so that it feels like it's a film to watch, you know. It's interesting because the genre of an anime in a music video mm-hmm. is really rare. So that even though I don't know, the song is catchy, every American knows it. Mm-hmm. But the clip itself creates something out of it that's different. It is a tale that you have to watch, you know.
I will check it out.
The drawings are pretty precise, nicely drawn, but the rhythm that flows through the editing of the images moving mimics the building up of the song. It's a shame that you're not familiar with that, with what they did with that, because it's interesting. Maybe, you know, when an artist draws something, everything is planned, but sometimes the drawing leads him to do things that he didn't plan to do.
Of course.
And it feels like as it is filmed and animated, you cannot really predict what you're going to see. Colors are blended to create the next form that you're going to see. So I feel that we find this building up, coming of age story that we read through in the lyrics and that we see as well in the film, in the this anime movie clip that we see. How is it that everyone knows that song, but maybe not the rest of the album? Was it heard?
That's the big single. They were kind of. I think they're still together, but they're kind of a one hit wonder. You know, Handlebars was huge, to the point where the version I'm most familiar with is a World of Warcraft theme parody of it. That's what I think of first when I think of this song.
No way.
Because it's about playing a rogue, and that's what I play. So it really made me laugh. And so that's what I think of with these lyrics. I can't help but pull out some of those lyrics. But so that song was huge. But I think one other song was released. Like one or two other songs were released, and they didn't have anywhere near the impact that Handlebars did.
I think one American friend from Arizona told me that he learned the expression handlebars through this song.
Interesting.
Maybe he didn't have a bike or something, but...
Maybe. but I guess he wouldn't. On to track 7.
Yep.
Never had it. This one is a complete change of pace and a very nice change of pace from the rest of the album. It starts off with this acoustic guitar, which I think is the only acoustic I've heard that I noticed on the album. And it just has a nice 70s soul feel, mm-hmm. as opposed to this rap rock of the rest of the album. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Roberts, I think, is on lead vocals. It's a woman singing it, as opposed to the two rappers. And there are a couple of rap breaks, but they're really just the short rap breaks that you would get in a conventional modern pop song.
And it is quite long. If you look mm-hmm. at all the lyrics, there's no chorus, there? No, there's no. Well, no.
I think there's like an instrumental chorus. There's like just an instrumental section that repeats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And one of the rappers sings, which I was surprised. I think, I mean, they kind of sing in another song, but he full on sings in this one. And there's a surprising electric guitar solo. There's a couple electric guitar solos on the album that really both caught me off guard, because this isn't a band where I would expect guitar solos. It's just, the groove is just a great change and really nice throwback. Probably my favorite on the album.
Okay.
And yeah. The lyrics are a little mellower. It's just kind of, it's a much less political song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those feel-good songs.
Hmm. What do you think of the onomatopoeia at the beginning and at the end?
Now, what is it?
Sort of ba 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 ba, like this.
Is this on track? Is this on Never Had It or Combat? Because no, Combat.
It's on Never Had It because.
Oh, okay.
That one, sir. I'm
okay, I don't remember. I don't, well, because Combat starts with an interesting vocal loop.
Oh yeah.
So I wasn't sure if you jump tracks. I don't remember it from Never Had It.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have to talk about the rhythm in Combat because
onto track 8 Combat. It starts with this very interesting vocal loop that really is what the first verse is built on. And I love, which I love, especially when the bass starts doubling it. And it really just sets the rhythm for the piece.
It's rap, definitely, but they play with every sound mm-hmm. in the word that they use so that each word becomes a rhythm. As if each word was an instrument, and through the way it is sung, it becomes a separate rhythm. Creating a score of words.
It starts with this repeated. I don't know. Are there lyrics at the beginning, or is it just
no? I think when
scatting.
I think it's just it's not mentioned in the lyrics.
Okay, so it's just kind of scattered, and it just sets this rhythm that really the bass comes in and mirrors it, and the drums come in on top of it with this really great classic aggressive hip hop beat. And it just forms the basis of the first verse. And on the second verse, another vocal loop comes in
mm-mm.
that has a little bit of a different rhythm. And they build the verse on that.
But yeah, this line, lyrical combat to get you to bounce back. This is just, listen to it. Like it's really rhythmically, it's perfect.
And it's just incredibly creative. The way they build on this loop. On to track 9, The Rhythm Method, Move. This is the most rock song so far. It's just straight up guitar, bass, and drums with these nice kind of melodic strings, just giving it a little bit of contrast. Really reminded me of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, which one? Which song? Well,
the band and just their sound in general, no particular song.
Okay, interesting.
Maybe around the era of like Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which is what I'm most familiar with. Suck My Kiss kind of sound. Great, again, another great viola solo. There's a groove behind the solo that kind of shifts from Red Hot Chili Peppers to kind of reminding me a little bit of Dave Matthews. But the strings and the sort of aggressive drums.
Okay. I can tell for Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'm not familiar with Dave Matthews.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
it reminded me a little bit of his stuff. Again, don't have anything on the lyrics, but I don't think they were particularly like political or messagey in this one. It was more of just again another like feel good song.
Yeah, maybe just put a catchy song out there, just rocky. Yeah.
But moving on to a very message heavy song, track 10, Anne Braden. Anne Braden was a civil rights activist and journalist from Alabama who was active from the 40s into the 1000s. She passed away just a few years ago. Love the swirling bass line in this one, and has a great, and this is something I comment on almost, I think almost every album we've reviewed, I've commented on the snare on one song or another. I'm a bass player. I love drums and I love a good snare. This has a great crack to it. Almost like a lightning hit. And there's some great atmospheric distorted guitar that just give it kind of an unsettling feel. And I got a bit choked up by the lyrics. I mean, I don't remember anything specific offhand, but you've got them in front of you. It just talks about Anne Braden's life and her work, and it's just very touching.
I actually learned that this person existed through that song.
Same here. Last night, I had never heard of her before. And I figured if the song is named after this person, they must be a real person. So I Googled her and you know, read up on her.
It's nice that they actually tell the story of a woman, because it's not something that rappers do a lot. And in a way, it's a tribute to her then, this song, you know.
It's absolutely a tribute to her. I think she had passed away just around the time it had been written, or shortly after, or around the time the album's released.
I'm just scrolling through the lyrics. Again, we find, you know, a very detailed story of her life, so that you can learn about her through that. But it's really a tribute to her.
Yeah. It's a tribute and kind of a biography in a sense.
And I wonder why I never heard of her, because you know, we all know Rosa Parks,
right? And MLK, and you know.
Yeah, but her, virtually never heard of her.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Which is, I'm sure, why they decided to write a song about her, because they wanted to, you know, bring her story to the forefront.
Yeah.
To give her some needed, much needed, much deserved attention.
And what I like about this band in general, and it shows it in the ending of the lyrics, you know, they always mention America, and always in a sort of a new light, trying to imagine the country differently. It ends with "There is another America," and this is puzzling as a French reviewer that a band could go as far as criticizing their own country. To say that it could be better, and again, it echoes with whatever Trump is doing right now. But this boldness to say that things could change is actually the beginning of change.
Yeah.
So,
which is again, why you mentioned that you can't really do it, a band can't really do anything to change things directly, but by bringing attention to the issues, they can inspire people. And that gets to why they wanted to, I'm guessing, you know, I'm sure why they wanted to tell the story of Anne Braden, to, you know, shed a spotlight on what she had did and to inspire people.
Yep. Inspiration is definitely something that we need more. We need more inspiration.
And speaking of a very inspiring song, on to track 11, "We Are Winning." This is what I thought was a sample at first, a woman speaking with a mid-Atlantic accent. And just kind of, it's almost it's a statement about how far we've come, progress that's been made. And I'm guessing this is Minnie Baldwin. She's credited with vocals, and it's just this unusual mid-Atlantic, very kind of. She sounds like she's an older person, and the music is just built around this monologue of hers.
As if she was using the album to highlight what she wants to say, you know. If it is as their voices were connected through this album, and they had, all of them had something to say, and they used this as a platform to express themselves. Which connects to the political statement of the album. There was this line: "A policeman makes reverse 911 calls, instructing residents to take to the streets." What would a reverse 911 call be?
I think a reverse call is when you use 911 to get someone's address.
You find
someone. Yeah, ironically, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's when you use.
No, I hear it.
Yeah, the phone is ringing. Their machine will pick it up. It's just ironic, the timing. I'm actually not 100% sure what a reverse 911 call is. I'm kind of thrown by the phone now.
Again, elements that that connect the scene into a very American environment. You know, the orange jumpsuit. holding a sign. This, I really like that they didn't hesitate to say that this had an American identity, but not in the way of a nationalist, right. In the way of change.
Yeah.
And this is something very pleasant to hear and notice and work with, because it's rare.
It's not a jingoistic America first kind of thing. We're definitely American, and these are our issues, and this is indeed the change.
Yeah, and this is great. I really think this band should get more exposure, because it's what they do is really great. They're very daring.
I'm glad you chose this because New Handlebars, and largely associated with that parody, and I kind of knew the last song, which we'll get to in a moment. Mm-hmm. But that's all I knew from the album, and it's really brilliant, all of it, and just daring and really surprising in a lot of ways. On to the last track, Rise, track 12.
Yeah,
this is easily the most alt rock song on the most alternative sounding. Reminds me a little bit of Modest Mouse and a lot of other similar bands of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is rare for me to say, and it's the same with Handlebars. I like the repetition of it. And I normally complain about songs being too repetitious, but it gives it, in both cases, a nice insistence. It just carries it nicely, though I am glad it changed a little bit on the chorus, because I was just starting to get tired of that bouncy groove, and then they changed a little bit on the chorus. And, the strings give this nice melodic contrast to this driving alt-rock beat. And the lyrics are, we'll rise together. It's about
unity.
Triumph.
Yeah, unity.
Yeah, unity and triumph.
Yeah. The repetition helps create the rhythm and so that the rhythm stays in your mind and you can join as if you were invited to add your own voice to this and join in, and join that group and and it's the ending of the album,
They went out on a very nice, very hopeful note. And it ends with another surprise instrument, as if there couldn't be more, instrumental surprises on this, a slide guitar. Nowhere else on the album, didn't expect it coming. It was just, one last little, here's another weird instrument we're pulling out.
And that's when the final line is said, which is lost hope, which is surprising because you were saying that we were all uniting and all saying that we were going to change. And then this last line, lost hope. I mean, what was the point?
What's the context? What leads into it?
It's, the singer repeats, rise together, we rise together. And then the final line is lost hope. And I didn't catch that. Yeah, I didn't hear that. I read that, but I didn't hear that.
Okay.
So interesting. I have to listen to that track again to see if it's there because it is surprising. It is, the lyrics are taken from, I think, Wikipedia, so maybe it's a mistake, but it's...
Yeah, we'll have to individually listen to it. Yeah, afterwards. Anything else?
Anything else? This song is really about change, and it is said in many times, please don't let anybody try to change me, as in I've made my decision to change the world,
right.
Don't let anyone in my way, I'm going to do this, and then this encouraging moment of whatever, even if you're different, you can still join the cause, you can still do something for us. There's nothing related to the environment, global warming and all this, which is probably missing in this album. It's really, as I said, about humanity and humans together, but there's nothing about our about the earth. Maybe because at the time it wasn't such an issue as it is now, but it's missing, I think, from the all the lyrics that we've reviewed. It's really about a nation coming again, not a coming of age, but really connected and linked and talking, speaking to America, and trying to say how it could be improved.
It kind of harkens back to May Day, where they're listing off, here's what we need to do, and here's how we do it.
Yep. And this is empowering to listen to such songs. The rhythm, the lyrics, everything is just so catchy, and it prompts you to listen to other albums that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to check out some of their later stuff.
Yeah.
I think they've done. I didn't check. I should have checked. I think I think they've done like 5 albums so far.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay, you've got it right there.
Yeah, looking at my iTunes album. There is, I think, I'm trying to see if I can find my favorite song by them. Well, there is Combat, because Combat is really catchy. I use it when I work out, so it's really, it gets me in the mood. I think there's If I May, or is it called If I? Oh yeah, it's in this album called By the Time You Get This Message.
Okay.
This one's really great. Wait, I don't want to play
it. Don't play it on the show. I deliberately don't put
stupid iTunes played it for me, which is why I didn't want
to get in here. It didn't come up over the mic.
How can I actually get to my library without playing this?
It's all right. Let's just move on. This is an obvious question. Would you recommend it?
Sure, of course.
And I would too. I really have no criticisms of the album. All right, so that's it for Fight With Tools by Flowbots. Once again, Apolline, thanks for joining me on both shows. You did a great job.
My pleasure.
Once again, let people know where they can find you and your work online.
Oh, again. Okay. I have a profile on DeviantArt, which features my poetry as well as my squirrel pictures, because I'm a big fan of
nature. Not just squirrels. You've also done some other nature photography, which is really exceptional.
Oh, exceptional. There you go. No, not really. It's just sensitivity. But I also publish some of my poems, some of which are not published yet, which means that some are published. I've published my poetry on Amazon in both French and English. It's a retelling of my experiences throughout the world in China and California. So if you want to discover a country through this, you're welcome to purchase my book.
And what's it called?
From the Bottom of My Heart. Yeah.
And you'll find all of Apolline's links down in the description, as well as links to the album Flight With Tools by Flowbots on Spotify and YouTube, as I mentioned earlier, and all of mine and Scott's links, social media, links to subscribe to the audio version of the show on iTunes and RSS, and links to our voicemail for this show yet. We're still working on that. Got to rework the message, but our email address, of course. And, of course, until next time, and we'll be reviewing Oh You Sinners by Eliza Rickman. Of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are. Thank you.